Several years ago, I have a friend shared a story sa akin sa isang pangyayari sa kalsada sa aming lugar. It's an intersection na malaki at ang nangyari po noong time na yon ay nasira yung traffic light. At nung nasira yung traffic light, isang malaking kaguluhan na nangyari. It was chaotic, ika nga. Nag-uunahan ng mga sasakyan, na kung nagbabangayan at kung ano-ano hong kaguluhan na nangyayari sa intersection. May mga ilang mama na kung saan nagmagandang loob, mga lima, pumunta sa gitna ng intersection at nagta-traffic. Pero walang sumusunod sa kanila. Kailangan ho may kumilos at pumagitna para wala hong mamatay o maaksidente sa kalagayan na yun. Hindi nagtagal, may isang motor ho na dumating at nakasagay ho ron na isang mamang payat na may kaidaran na. Daan-daan ho siya pumunta sa kalagitnaan ng isang very chaotic na situation at ang unang ginawa po niya ay ganito. Hinipan niya ng malakas ang kanyang sipol at tinaas ang kanyang kamay at pinahinto lahat ng mga sasakyan na parating. Lahat po na rumaragas ang jeepney, lahat ng mabibilis na truck ay naghintuan lahat. Biglang pinadaan naman niya sa kabila yung nandun, nagsunuran lahat. At daan-daan po ng ilang minuto ay naayos yung daloy ng trapiko. So ang tanong, anong pagkakaiba sa limang mama na nagtatry mag-traffic at isang payat patpati na matandang mama? Isang salita lang ang may pagkakaiba. Authority. Authority. Dahil sa uniforme at sa tsapa na nakasuot sa mamang ito, sinasabi ng kanyang countenance, sa kanyang appearance, na nasa likod niya ang Republika ng Pilipinas. Na binigyan siya ng otoridad na maggawin yung mga bagay na ito. Similarly, si Jesus Christ also entered a dark, chaotic world natin. And he started proclaiming and rebuking and preaching. Pinasok niya ito and demonstrated great authority. At yan po ang pag-uusapan natin ngayong hapon na ito. We are in our sixth week in our sermon series of the Gospel of Mark. Gospel according to Mark. And after this Friday na ito, we will put our series na ito sa gospel on hold to pave way sa ating coming series ngayon darating na December. And eventually, we will pick up our study sa Gospel of Mark sa fall of 2019. So, last week po yung ating napag-aralan, iniwan po natin si Jesus Christ sa banks ng Lake of Galilee. And doon, natuklasan natin na he was approaching ordinary fishermen to become a follower niya. And from there is doon ho magsisimula ang ating storya ngayong hapon na ito. Because itong ating passage ngayon will talk about how Jesus Christ demonstrated, exercised authority. Because Jesus' authority is demonstrated in his exhortation, exorcism, and extraordinary healing. Sa ganong kapamamaraanan, pinakita ng Panginoon Jesucristo ang kanyang authority. Jesus' authority is demonstrated in his exhortation, sa kanyang preaching, sa kanyang teaching, sa kanyang exorcism o pagpalayas ng masamang espiritu sa isang tao, and extraordinary healing sa kanyang pagpapagaling. With this, we have 3 points. Number 1, authority in his sermon, verses 21 hanggang 22, o otoridad sa kanyang pangangaral. Number 2, authority over evil spirits, verses 23 hanggang 28, o otoridad sa mga masamang espiritu. And number 3, authority over all sickness, which is verses 29 hanggang 34, o otoridad sa lahat ng mga sakit. Simulan po natin sa una. Authority in his sermon, verses 21 hanggang 22, o otoridad sa kanyang sermon. Tingnan niyo yung verse 21. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Alam niyo po, kung babasahin po natin yung verse 20 at verse 21, meron po tinatawag na time gap po yan. Okay? In short, yung verse 20 at saka verse 21, hindi po isang araw yan. Magkaiba po ng araw ang verse 20 at saka verse 21. Bagamat nga si Mark madalas sinasabi niya, immediately, because he's a man of action, parang kumbaga yung storya niya mabilis at parang iisa lang, parang isang araw lang nangyayari. Para totoo niya, yung verse 20, yung kung saan in-invite niya yung mga disciples sa sumama sa kanya, and verse 21, na papuntang Capernaum sa synagogue, ay magkaibang araw po yan. Bakit? Kasi nung niyaya ni Jesus Christ sa verse 20, yung mga mangingisda na sumunod sa kanya, it was a work day. And kung pupunta tayo sa verse 21, papunta silang synagogue, it was a Sabbath day. And sa Sabbath day po, sa isang Hudyo, ay bawal hong magtrabaho. So clearly, these are two different days. Now, tingnan niyo yung verse 21. Makikita natin na dumiretso sa Capernaum, or ang tawag sa Capernaum is Village of Nahum. They are not sure kung ito nga ba yung Nahum sa Bible, pero ito yung lugar na kung saan napaka-prominente po. Si Jesus po at ang kanyang disciples ay dumiretso po ron. Capernaum ay parang lumalabas na headquarters ng ministry ni Jesus Christ. At masasabi rin po na doon din ho siya nakatira. No, marahil yung iba sa atin iniisip, saan ba nakatira si Jesus Christ? Iniisip natin siguro si Jesus Christ natutulog na lang sa mga kalye, sa mga kalsada. Totoo niyan, dyan ho siya nagstay at maaaring siya po ay tumira sa bahay o tahanan ni Simon Peter at saka ni Andrew. So, diyan po siya naglagay, yan ang kanyang headquarters, diyan po siya umuuwi at tumutuloy. Gaya ng nabanggit natin sa Luke chapter 4, verse 16, yung parallel passage niya, kapag araw ng Sabbath, ngayon ng Sabbath po, o Shabbat, ang ibig sabihin po niyan ay araw ng Saturday or day of rest, ang araw po na ito para sa mga Hudyo ay araw ng kapahingahan at araw ng pananambahan. Nakagawian na po ni Jesus Christ kapag araw ho ng Sabbath, which is a Saturday, na pumunta po sa sinagoga para umaten ng worship service. Yun po ang kanyang nakagawian. At yun po yung nakikita natin dito sa verse 21. It's a Sabbath, punta tayo ng sinagoga kasama yung apat na disciples niya. Ang sinagoga or synagogue is not a place na kung saan yung mga animals ay sinasacrifice. Hindi po yun yung lugar na yon. Ang mga animal sacrifices nangyayari po mismo sa temple of the Lord. Wala ho siya sa Galilee kung nandun siya sa Jerusalem. So, sometimes people are confused sa dalawa, no? Ang synagogue ay parang church pero hindi siya church. Ito'y isang lugar na kung saan ang mga Hudyo at ang mga Gentiles na nagpa-convert sa Judaism ay nag-gather to hear instructions and worship. Okay? So they gather for instructions and worship sa araw ng Sabado. Ang service nila, ano ba itsura ng service nila para ba sa, yes, parang may pagkatulad sa atin, pero malaki pa rin ang pagkakaiba. Ang service nila includes prayers, public reading of scriptures, meron din sermon explaining yung binasa na scriptures, and so forth. Ang tawag sa tagapamahala po ng synagogue ay synagogue ruler. Yun ang tawag sa kanilang leader. Yun yung nag-aalaga ng synagogue. Hindi po siya Pharisee, hindi rin po siya scribe, pero siya po ang chief administrator ng lugar po na yon. Na bawat synagogue ay may chief administrator, no? Or synagogue ruler. Pinapayagan niya mga karaniwang Hudyo na umaaten ng synagogue niya na either mag-pray or magbasa publicly mismo sa congregation. Kadalasan, nag-iimbita rin yung mga synagogue rulers na ito, nag-i-invite siya ng mga tao na kung saan sa tingin nila ay eksperto sa salita ng Diyos. Madalas in-invite nila yung mga scribes, ayan, which is mamaya pag-uusapan natin yung mga scribes na ito, na ini-invite nila para mag-share or mag-interpret ng salita ng Diyos. So, at this moment, at this specific Sabbath, si Jesus po ay naka-schedule mag-preach. No, paano nabigyan ng pagkakataon si Jesus Christ mag-preach sa synagogue? Well, some say dahil siguro dahan-dahan na siya nakikilala sa kanilang lugar. tumataas na ang respeto ng mga tao sa mga, sa kay Jesus Christ sa taga doon, naririnig na nila na itong mamang ito ay mataas ang rep points or reputation points dahil nga maraming naniniwala at maraming na rin sumusunod na naghahanap sa kanya. It seems like medyo legit. So, in-invite siya na synagogue ruler na to share God's word. At nung nag-preach si Jesus Christ sa synagogue sa Galilee, ano kaya yung naging reaction ng mga tao? Ito po ang naging reaction. Tingnan niyo yung verse 22. And they were astonished. They were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. Ano yung language na ginamit dyan? They were astonished. Another word for that is they were amazed. They were astounded. They were overwhelmed with awe and wonder na mangha po sila sa kanilang nadinig. First time nilang nakarinig ng ganitong klaseng katuruan. Na mangha sila sa kapamamaraanan at nilalaman ng mensahe ni Jesus Christ. Hindi lang yon, he speaks, at sabi ho dyan, as one who has direct authority from God. Yun po ang nakanilang collective observation. And we should not be surprised because yung pangyayari na ito, it was already prophesied sa Old Testament. It was prophesied in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. You can write that down. Pero ang sabi sa Daniel chapter 7, verse 14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and all peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Yung po yung prophecy about yung mangyayari yung araw na yon. So, ang ginawa ng mga tao, kinumpara nila yung preaching ni Jesus Christ sa preaching ng mga scribes. Ang mga scribes, sino ba yung mga scribes dito sa Bible? Hindi ba pare-pareho lang yan ng mga Pharisees? Hindi yung magkakaiba ho yan. Now, ang scribes po, tinatawag na rabbis, sila po yung mga chief interpreters pagdating sa scripture. Sila po yung batas. Sila yung legit. Sila yung mga tao na kung sana kapag meron kang hindi maintindihan, yung scribes kaagad ho ang tinatawag nila. Sa Bible, sa New Testament, sila po yung tinatawag na Jewish law. Sila yung interpreters of the Jewish law. Sa Bible, may encounter mo yung language na lawyers, sila po yun. Experts of the law or teachers of the law. Yun yung mga iba-ibang verses sa Mark na makikita nyo na ginagamit yung term na ito. Pero overall, they were scribes. Noong time po na yon, karamihan ng mga mamamayan ay hindi marunong magbasa. Hindi aral, hindi educated. So ang ginagawa po nila is they heavily rely on scribes para basahin at i-interpret sa kanila kung ano po yung scriptures. So, kung ano man ang bigay sa kanila ng mga rabbis na ito, yun na lang ang tinatanggap nila. Walang accountability, basta ikaw ay scribe, sige, okay na yan, hindi ko natatanungin kung ano sabihin, kung ano man lalabas sa bibig niyan, totoo. Sila po ang mga aral sa pagbasa at interpret ng scripture. Sila ay na-train ng mga ng tinatawag na scribal tradition. Okay? Kaya kapag nagpe-preach itong mga mamang ito, ang madalas na madidinig mo sa kanila ay kinokote nila yung mga naunang rabbis. Yun yung parang authority na lumalabas sa kanila. Pansin nyo ba na kapag may tao, we always catch ourselves sometimes quoting someone, di ba? So ang mga ginagawa ng rabbis ito, they will share their knowledge, they will share what they understand, but they will quote dead rabbis. In short, their authority rests on dead rabbis. Yung mga theologians, yung mga prof nila, yun ang madalas nilang kinukot, which, nung time na yun, kinalala yung mga tao na yun. Yung kinukot niya si ganon. So, people know about this. It's parang it becomes something na medyo, parang ang galing naman ito, aral na aral. Pero, nung nag-preach si Jesus Christ, kitang-kita po ang pagkakaiba. Ngayon lang sila nakadinig ng ganitong klaseng sermon na may otoridad. Hindi, Jesus taught on the basis on not anyone's authority, he preached a sermon based on his authority. When he preaches something, sinasabi niyang, it is, yung fulfillment ay ako. Yun po ang ginagawa ng mamang ito. No, kagaya ng ginawa niya sa Nazareth. I'll give you one sample ng kanyang preaching. Sabi sa Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 20, ito yung ginawa niyang preaching mismo sa Nazareth, lugar na kung saan siya tinaboy sa preaching na ito. And ito ang, he opened scriptures, at ang binuksan niya, ang scripture nga pala ko hindi ganun. Sa kanila is ganun. Ganun. Okay, verse 1. Ganun ang karami yun. Ano? Ganun kalaki. Hindi siya yung mga Bible na ganito. So these are really big scrolls. So he read the scroll of Isaiah 61. At ito yung binasa niya, which is yung binasa kanina ni James. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord. After po niyang basahin yung Isaiah 61, sinarado niya yung scroll, umupo, at ito po ang sinabi ni Jesus Christ. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In short, he was pertaining to himself. People know ang sinasabi niya because tingnan mo yung reaction. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. Nagtaka rin yung mga tao, naintindihan nila, is he pertaining to himself as a fulfillment, Isaiah 61? Kasi yung iba nagtanong na dito, di ba yan yung anak ng karpintero? Siya bang sinasabi niya siya yung Messiah? Yung ba sinasabi niya? At dito siya muntikang patayin, no? Yung time na to. So when it's similar when he preached to a synagogue dito sa Galilee, he preached as one who has an authority na hindi galing sa mga patay na rabbis, hindi galing kung kanino ma, kung hindi galing sa kanya. Direkta galing sa Diyos Ama, he's speaking his authority. And people discerned that. People saw that. People were amazed by the preaching of God's word because he taught directly, direct authority from God. A seasoned pastor and a well-known preacher at saka writer na ang pangalan ay si John MacArthur ay tinanong sa isang question and answer portion ng kanilang service this question. Ito ang tanong kay John MacArthur. How much authority does the pastor has over his congregation? Ano raw ang otoridad ng pastor sa kanyang kongregasyon? At ito ang sagot ni John MacArthur. None. I have no authority in this church personally. Experience does not give me authority. My knowledge does not give me authority. My education does not give me authority. My position does not give me authority. My title does not give me authority. Only the Word of God has authority over His people. Christ is the head of the church and He mediates His rule over His church. I have no authority beyond scriptures. I can never exceed what was written. End quote. Bilang mga preachers po, I just want you to understand, friends, bilang mga preachers of God's Word, wala kaming otoridad magturo o magbigay ng kahit anong instructions or commands sa church kung hindi po ito galing sa salita ng Diyos o wala itong kinalaman sa salita ng Diyos. Hindi kami pwedeng pumunta rito at mag-imbento ng kwento at ituro sa tao at gawin nyo ito. Wala kami karapatan ho doon. Alam ko po na karamihan sa atin na nandito ay galing, ay may mga karanasan sa mga churches na ang pastor ay authoritarian. Na ang lahat ng kanyang sabihin ay pinag-uutos kahit wala itong basihan sa salita ng Diyos. O kahit ang ginagawa niya sa salita ng Diyos ay dinadagdagan, binabawasan, binabaluktot, at binibigay sa tao at kailangan mong sundin ito. Kung hindi, pupulpituhin ka namin. Kung hindi, i-excommunicate ka namin kapag hindi mo kami sinunod. Very manipulative ministers. Mga kaibigan, kailangan po mag-ingat po tayo sa mga ganitong klaseng mangangaral. Mag-ingat po tayo sa pakikinig sa mga nagtuturo ng ganito na ang tinatawag nila sa sarili nila ay mangangaral ng salita ng Diyos. If you're visiting with us here for the first time, I want you to be careful in listening to preachers na kung saan who will preach na walang content ng salita ng Diyos or binabaluktot ang salita ng Diyos. We should be like the Bereans, kagaya na sinabi ni Paul sa Acts chapter 17 verse 11, na hindi lamang mahiling makinig sa preaching kung hindi itong mga tao na ito ay sinusuri nila ng todo. Kung totoo nga ba ang preacher na ito ay ang sinasabi niya ay nakalagay sa salita ng Diyos. Alam po ninyo tayong mga Pinoy, meron po tayong strong relational culture. And this is a very good thing. This is a very good thing. Meron strengths po ito. However, minsan we unhealthily prioritize ang ating relationships sa ating mga kaibigan at mga kamag-anak over listening and obeying to God's Word. Let me say that again. Minsan, we unhealthily prioritize ang ating relationship sa ating mga kaibigan at kamag-anak over listening and obeying the truth of God's Word. I have spoken to many of us in this church and many from hindi sa church na ito, mga kaibigan, mga malapit po sa akin, na sila ay bahagi ng isang iglesia or church na kung saan they, sa nila na mismo, nagsasabi they are not faithfully preaching God's Word, hindi binabanggit o tinuturo yung gospel, at hindi ho tinuturo kung sino talaga yung Jesus of the Bible. They were forced to do things na pinag-uutos ng pastor na questionable kung ito nga ba ay galing sa salita ng Diyos. May mga pagkakataon po that may mga ganong klaseng counsel na lumalapit sa akin. I immediately counsel them. I think you need to talk to your pastors. And if you're here today and you have someone na kung saan na ganun nga, it's so concerning that they're not teaching God's Word faithfully, I encourage you to talk to your pastors. Talk to your leaders. Ask them. Give them. Pray for them. Now, there are also times na I ask them na umalis na po sila sa church. Because exposure to a church who is not preaching the Bible is not healthy. Hindi lang siya basta unhealthy, it is very dangerous. Hindi po ang salita ng Diyos ang otoridad na pinakikinggan ng mga taong ito, kundi otoridad ho ng tao. And it's sad. Bilang preacher, mga kapatid, it is my job to faithfully preach Jesus kung sino po siya na ayon sa Bible. Na siya po ay ganap na Diyos at ganap na tao. Na siya ay perpekto sa lahat ng aspeto at walang bahid ng kasalanan. Na siya lamang ang tanging sakripisyo na katanggap-tanggap sa Diyos Ama para sa ating kasalanan. Na siya ay namatay, na ilibing, sa ikatlong araw ay muling nabuhay. Na ngayon ay nasa kanang kamay ng Diyos Ama at isang araw po ay babalik siya para sa kanyang iglesia. It is my job, listen, it is my job to preach Jesus Christ so that people would be amazed to Him and not to me. We must be amazed kay Jesus Christ in our preaching, in our church. I encourage you to be like Bereans. Pakinggan po ninyo mabuti ang aking katuruan. Tingnan ninyo kung may mali na akong sinasabi. Examine, open scriptures. If I am preaching to you a gospel that is not from the Bible, I ask you, please approach me. Tell me from the scripture where I am wrong so I can change. At kung sino man ang pupunta rito sa harapan, open the scriptures. Friends, when you come to church, does the preaching of Jesus Christ through God's Word amazes you? If not, what amazes you when you come to church? If we come to church expecting to be amazed sa exhilarating high-powered worship band, if we expect to be amazed at modern stage design, a warm, friendly greetings from members, a scrumptious set of pastries and rich aroma of aftertaste, the newly brewed coffee, sa snack table that we don't have, sa funny motivational oratory skills ng preacher, if these are your expectations, if you come to church and you have the expecting to be amazed by this, then friends, your amazement is misplaced. It is misplaced. If you come to church expecting to see all of the, I mean, I'm not saying these things are wrong. I'm not saying all of these are bad. It would be good to have some of those, especially those scrumptious pastries and aroma ng coffee na masarap. But that is not the point why we come and gather to church. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified so that people would be amazed kay Jesus Christ, hindi sa external extremities ng church. Jesus should be wonderfully amazing sa church natin, especially in the preaching of God's Word. Jesus preached with authority, and so people were amazed. Were amazed. They were astounded. But not only did it amaze its listeners, it also, and listen to this, provoked demons. That's how powerful the preaching was. And you go to number two. Authority over evil spirits. We see that in verse 23 to 28. O otoridad sa mga masamang espiritu. Verse 23, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Now, ang ibig po sabihin ng a man with an unclean spirit, hindi po ito yung espiritu na hindi naligo at pumasok ko sa kanya. No. A man with an unclean spirit means a man who has a demon. Itong mamang ito ay kontrolado ng masamang espiritu. Okay? O may demonyo. Makikita niyo po yan sa parallel passage of Luke chapter 4, verse 33. Nakunsan, they mentioned the word, this man has a demon. Nakunsan pinoposes siya. Naalala ko nung bata po kami, itinuro sa amin nung bata kami, nung mga matatanda, na kapag nasa loob ka ng simbahan, okay? Kapag nasa loob ka ng simbahan, hindi papasok ang masamang espiritu. Kapag nasa loob ka ng simbahan, lahat ng mga aswang at saka halimaw ay masusunog. No? Kaya may mga biroan. Anong ginagawa mo sa church? Masusunog ka. Di ba? May mga ganong biroan. Di ba? O kaya naman sa kagaling church, buti hindi ka nasunog. Kasi may mga ganong prinsipyo at mentality tayo mga Pinoy. Pero ang nakakamangha po dito sa verse na ito, sa loob mismo ng synagogue, isang lugar na dapat spiritual na tangpuan ang mamang na po-possess ng demon. Are you getting that? This is just amazing. A place where everybody was supposed to be spiritual was a man sitting who has a demon. I was meditating on this in a few days ago. And I was thinking, ilan taon na yan nakaupo dyan? Ilan taon na yan kumakanta ng mga worship songs? Ilan taon na yan na nagbabasa ng scripture sa harapan nila? Okay? Ilan taon na siya nagpa-participate sa services na ito? Nakikinig ng sermon pero walang epekto sa kanya. He was not disturbed at all. He is still controlled by demons, enslaved by sin. This means, friends, when Jesus preached God's word faithfully, with authority and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the demons started to become uncomfortable. Okay? And were threatened. And so the demons hysterically spoke through this man. At anong sinabi ng demons na ito sa mama? You will see that in verse 23 to 24. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Na kung babasahin na lang natin ang ganyan, ano na parang ordinaryo na lang, parang wala lang, eh, no? Na kung saan titignan natin na parang nagtatanong lang ng mga demonyo kay Jesus Christ. Jesus, mabaita, ano parang nyo sa amin? Parang ganun lang ang dating, eh. Di ba? Hindi po. That's not the tone. That is not the tone of the demon-possessed man. Iba po ang tono ng pagkakasabi ng mamang ito. How do I know that? It's because it's located on the parallel passage of Luke chapter 4, verse 34. Pasigaw niya sinabi ito. And I will read you three different translations. Kung ano yung tono neto. Sa NIV, ang sabi is, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Ganon pasindak. New Revised Standard Version, "Let us alone! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Magandang balita, Biblia. Anong pakialam mo sa amin, Jesus na taga Nazareth? So, hindi ito lang, JC, anong balita? Anong plan mo sa amin? Hindi ho eh, hindi ganun yun. Hindi ganun ang, hindi ang tono. They were threatened, they were alarmed. This is a forceful statement of opposition. When I was young, nanonood ako ng TV, kaul na kaul yung aso namin. So, I was wondering, like, ba't pa kaul na? Pagsilip ko sa bintana, nasyak ako, nagulat ako. Then may nakita akong tao ron na hindi namin kilala na nakatambay sa garahe namin. So, sa sobrang gulat ko kasi pagsilip ko, nandun siya. Alam mo yung dahan, sabi ko parang, alam mo yung gabi, yung sisilip ka sa bintana, ako ba sisilip ba ako? Hindi sisilip. Pagsilip mo, nandun yung mukha niya, nakaharap sa'yo ng ganun. Talaga sumigaw ako. Because galit ako, sumigaw ako. And feeling ko kasi, trespassing ito. Similarly, parang ganito ang nangyayari sa mga demonyo. King Jesus has entered the dark demonic kingdom of Satan. He entered their demonic territory and were shocked to see him. Friends, demons are real. If I hindi ako naging clear sa sinasabi ko, demons, ang mga demonyo ay totoo. They are Satan's angels. The Bible calls them fallen angels. Okay, you have to be careful if somebody gives you compliments. Ang cute mo naman, mukha kang angel. You ask the question, anong klase? Kasi may fallen angel, di ba? Demonyo yun, pag fallen angel. Okay? So, ang angels na ito rebelled with Satan against God. They hate God. They will destroy everything that remind them of God. Friends, they will destroy you. They will destroy us. You know why? Because we are created in the image of God and we remind them of God. That is why they hate us. They will tempt us to sin. I'm saying that a little bit lightly. They will heavily tempt us to sin every day, all the time. At kapag nahulog tayo sa kasalanan, they will attack us with guilt. Oh, yan nga ba sinasabi ko? Wala kang kwenta. Ang ganyan ka na lang. Tama yung sinabi ni Enteng, ganyan ka talaga. Di ba? At kapag inatake niya tayo sa guilt, pinaramdam na wala tayong kwenta, he will remind of our sins and he will encourage you to keep sinning more. To keep on sinning. And then tempt us to keep sinning and from there tempt us to destroy our lives. Oh, total, ganyan ka na rin lang. Dire-diretsuhin mo na. Oh, ang tingin nila sa'yo, di ba? Ate, tuloyin mo na, pakita mo. Oh, di ba? Sabi, walang kwenta rin, boy, magpakamatay ka na. Friends, this is not an encouraging voice from the angels of God, but from the angels of the devil. And you think it's your voice. He binds us from understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Demons can also, at some instances, take control of unbelievers' mind, their tongues, their actions. They can afflict all sorts of pain and disability. Such was the case of this poor man in Anas' synagogue. He was completely controlled by a demonic force. Now, we need to be careful to quickly conclude that lahat ho ng mga sakit ay may possession ng demonyo. May lagnat ako in Jesus' name.
Ay nako, anak, nako ba kayo, puro ka, ba't puro, ano may taga, may, ni taga natin eh, parang bulutong, may bulutot ako, pag-pray natin, busan ng mantika yan. Ilayhan sa atin.
I mean, it's okay to pray. It's okay to pray for someone who's sick. I'm not saying that. But if we associate all sickness because of demon possession or oppression, you better be careful about that. We can easily demonize things, no, na hindi naman related. Okay? Now, bakit mo nasabi yan? Kasi immediately ginagawa ng iba, i-cast natin yan, i-cast out, i-cast out. No, because of verse 34. Look at verse 34 ng Mark chapter 1. There's a difference between the sick and the demon-possessed. Diba? That was really clear. People that time can differentiate between a person who is mentally challenged or have a person who is demon-possessed. They know. They're not because, oh, nung unang parang yung mga walang alam yan, hindi mo dahil walang. They know. They know from a sick, from demon-possessed person. They know someone who's mentally challenged. So they know. People in the synagogue immediately recognize this demonic activity na nagsalita. Probably they know this man. They notice na yung kanyang actions, yung kanyang reasoning, yung kanyang voice is unnatural to him. So while Jesus was preaching, this demon-possessed man got everyone's attention. I think I remember a similar situation 3 years ago sa akin. I was invited in a youth camp. I was one of the preachers, gabi ho yun. Barkada ko yung youth pastor. And I was sitting at the back listening to his sermon. And it was a good 300 300 na mga kabataan na nando doon. I was approached by yung youth pastor's wife, which friends ho kami, and she said, "Pwede mo ba akong samahan, may titignan lang tayo?" And she accompanied me to this young lady. Nakasaan na nakasandal sa balikat ng kanyang kaibigan. And I was like, masama ba pakiramdaman? Gumaganon yung... So I was talking to her, and when I touched her, she was as hard as a rock. Hindi ko siya maangat. And tapos, hindi ko siya matulak, hindi ko siya magalaw. At nangangawit na yung sinasandalan niya. So kinakausap namin, I said, kuha kayo ammonia, baka yung nahimatay na to. So, pinadaanan namin ilong, nothing. Kasi pag ganun, walang reaction, kinakabahan ako, baka heart attack yun, baka hindi na kaya. But, we have a nurse in a chinek. Until tumingin na ako sa youth pastor's wife and sabi niya, yes, we know these signs. And then I asked some of yung mga medic nandoon to carry this young lady papunta sa clinic. When she was halfway through the auditorium, nakarga, bigla siya nagwala. Her voice started to change. Her reactions were violent. We don't have much time, so hiniga namin siya sa isang bench na pinagduktong namin. And she was screaming. I'm telling you, no one can hold her still, pati mga lalaki. She was strong. And I told my friend, continue the sermon because God is doing something. So I opened the Bible and started reading this passage na tinuturo natin ngayon. And she screamed even more. I received series of scratches sa aking... It took us until 3 o'clock na madaling araw before the spirit left the body. Demons are real. Of course, we did some investigation afterwards. If you know, we need to go through this mental examination and or sickness, but it came to our attention. Yung father pala niya may mga anting-anting sa bahay, who was a worshiper of demons. The demons knew Jesus who more than we do. Okay, demons knew who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God. Na napagtagumpayan niya ang lahat ng tukso ni Satanas. Na siya mismo sa final judgment ang magpaparusa sa kanya. They know that Jesus has the authority over them. They know that the true identity and being of Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The demons know who Jesus is. There's no debate kung siya ay Diyos o hindi. Sa mga demons, they know He is God. They hated Him. They oppose Him. And do not trust Jesus. They do not have a relationship with Jesus. Friends, the truth is, we may know all of these wonderful theological truths about Jesus and God. We may probably grew up in a Christian home, probably have read all the Bible verses and memorized a lot, have heard many sermons sa iyong lifetime, participated in worship gatherings, serving in ministries, but still do not have a relationship with God. Hindi ho basihan ang mga aktibidades natin sa church na masasabi na tayo ay tunay na anak ng Diyos. We know that to be true because the demons know God. They know Jesus, but they do not have a relationship with Him. James chapter 2, verse 19. You can write that down. James 2, 19. Ito po sinabi ni James. You believe that God is one? You do well. In short, you believe that God is one? Great! Ito yung kasunod. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Friends, you may believe that there is a Jesus, but do you trust Him as your eternal Savior and Lord of your life? That's two different things. Look at verse 25 to 26. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Again, yung tone niyan, pasigaw. Tumigil ka! Nayas! Walang kalaban-laban. Don't think that Satan is more powerful than Jesus. Verse 26, and the unclean spirit convulsing him and cry out with a loud voice came out of him. Hindi pinayagan ni Jesus magsalita ang mga demonyo ng kahit anong patungkol sa kanya. Bakit? So I think this is one of those questions. So bakit hindi pinasalita ni Jesus kahit nagbubukohin ba siya? Well, there's some speculation and some answers na binigay or suggestions. Some say because he doesn't want the demons to develop credibility in telling truth. Baka paliwalaan lagi mga demons. Some say, since demons are liars, they might distort kung sino yung talaga si Jesus Christ. Bahiran yung pangalan niya. Well, some say it's related to timing. Hindi pa ito ang nararapat na panahon para siya'y makilala at mapadali ang kanyang timetable papunta sa cross. These reasons may all be true, but one thing that is clear sa passage na ito, that Jesus has authority over demons. If you are here and you are afraid of evil spirits, afraid of demons, Jesus is more powerful than them. He commanded them to leave this man. He did not command them to leave under Moses' authority. He did not command them with anyone's authority. He commanded them to leave on His authority. And in verse 27, the people notice such authority. And we're amazed. Nung una, manghamang, ang galing mag-preach, kakaiba, nagpalayas ng Diablo, hanep, stig. Manghamangha sila. Hindi ko alam kung paano na sinasabi yun sa kanilang language, you know, pero manghangmangha sila. This phenomenon had been the talk of the town sa buong Galilee, as mentioned in verse 28. Sumikat si Jesus Christ sa buong lugar nila. He has authority over demons. He has authority over preaching. Number three and last. This is our last point. He has authority over sickness. And you see that in verse 29 to 34. Autoridad sa sakit. Sa mga sakit. Now, sa verses 29 to 34, dalawang klaseng miraculous healing ang naganap po dito. Sa mga huling verses na ito, ngayong hapon na ito, ay both Jesus revealed His compassion when He was healing the hurting and those who are suffering. First of all, there was a private healing. Second, there was a public healing. First, there was a private healing. Makita niyan sa verse 29 to 30. Agad-agad, after ng sinari sa sinagag, dumiretso po si Jesus Christ sa bahay ni Peter tsaka ni Andrew. Bakit kamo? Kasi sinabi ni Peter na may sakit yung kanyang biyanan na babae, yung kanyang mother-in-law. Now, Maaring humingi ng tulong kay Jesus si Peter pagalingin ng kanyang mother-in-law, hindi dahil walang physicians noong time na yon. Humingi ng tulong si Peter hindi dahil walang doktor. May mga doktor po noong time na yon. Hindi dahil na wala silang pang patingin ng doktor. Wala silang pang paggamot. Remember, may maliit na business, fishing business, itong mga mangingisda na ito. Hindi rin po dahil sa nag-iinerte lang si nanay na may lagnat, nagpapapansin. Hindi po, kasi maaring malubha po ang karamdaman ng kanyang biyanan at walang doktor at walang dasal ang tumatalab. At nag-aalala na ang pamilya ni Peter. She was in a hopeless situation. And when Jesus heard about this in verse 31, tingnan nyo, with an act of compassion, tinabihan niya ang mother-in-law ni Peter at wala nang salita-salita. Hinawakan niya, inangat niya, and boom, biglang gumaling. Wala nang mga wave-wave ng kamay, wala nang mga salita-salita. Jesus Christ, could you imagine, biglang, nasa'y mother-in-law mo? Siya ba to? Galing na. Galing na. At bilang isang mabuti at masikasong biyanan na may bisita, agad-agad siyang naglingkod sa kanila at naghanda ng merienda. To show that she's completely healed. She was healed supernaturally. Just a side note sa atin, those who have been supernaturally transformed by Christ ay imposibleng hindi siya paglingkuran. There was a private healing. Second, there was a public healing. Verses 32 to 33. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city world gathered together at the door. Dahil sa ginawa ni Jesus sa synagogue, maraming taong nakaalam patungkol sa ginawa niya. Ilan sa kanila doon ay may mga kamag-anak, kapatid, asawa na may demon possess. Ilan sa kanila sa synagogue na yon na kung saan may masamang karamdaman o malubhang karamdaman ng kanilang mga mahal sa buhay o sila mismo. So kumalat ito sa buong Galilee at ngayon, paglubog ng araw, nagpunta. Bakit paglubog ng araw? Well, it's because ang Sabbath day po, hindi ka pwedeng gumawa ng kahit ano. Except na ikaw pupunta sa synagogue para mag-pray and worship. Walang trabaho, walang anything that produces heat. Bawal. Kaya paglubog ng araw, which is around, I think, roughly 6 o'clock, takbuhan lahat. 5, 4, 3, 2, takbuhan, punta ka, Jesus! Ganun yung senaryo. At sa maliit na pintuan, sa maliit na bahay ng manging isda, nandoon ang buong bayan. Can you imagine, di ba? Itong maliit ang bahay, tapos boom! Nakapunta na ba kayo sa Dubai Mall na parang may holiday na kung saan punong-puno? Nakaranas pa ako, nakakalaga, nag-uunahan kami sa isang maliit na pintuan. Parang isang malak, tapos bottleneck, ang liit ang pintuan. Ganun ang itsura, nagsisiksikan, daladala yung mga napuses, ang gulo nun. Kasi po may nagsisihihiyawan na napuposes, may iba rin na nagsusuka na dahil may sakit. Iyon ho ang itsura nito. Dahil sa ginawa ni Jesus Christ ito, na lahat ng mga may sakit, lahat ng demon possessed, nagpakita. Nandun sa pintuan, nakita niya sa verse 33. At anong ginawa ni Jesus Christ? Late na? Nag-preach ako kanina? Nagpagaling ako kanina? Nagpalayas? Siguro pagod na ako. Hindi sinabi ni Jesus Christ, paano nalaman ang bahay dito? Ano ba yan? Pagod na ako. Pagpupunta, ang daming tao. Wala bang isang maliit na pintuan na palabas dito? Takas tayo. Hindi yun ang sinabi niya eh. Hindi yun ang sinabi niya. Ano sinabi niya? Ano ginawa niya? Verse 34. And he healed many. Interesting, not all. He healed many who were sick with various diseases. Cast out many demons. Kanina isa lang na possess. Kanina isa lang ay may sakit. Ngayon buong bayan. Pinagaling, pinalayas ang demon. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him, which is yung pinag-usapan natin kanina. Now, pansinin po natin na hindi si Jesus sumakay ng mamahaling karwahe at pumunta at nag-arkila ng isang mamahaling lugar at doon nag-conduct ng miracle crusade. Hindi niya ginawa po yun. Siya ang nilapitan ng tao. Hindi siya nagpa-miracle crusade at nagpabayad. At nagpa-donate, hindi siya ang nilapitan, wala siyang hiningi. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he do this? Bakit niya pinagdaling? Because simply to say Jesus is a compassionate God. He's compassionate. He was willing to be inconvenienced in order to meet a need. Let me say that again. Jesus was willing to be inconvenienced in order to meet a need. He healed many of them, cast out demons. Jesus healed them all supernaturally by touching, by speaking a word of command. They were all relieved from suffering and pain because he's compassionate. He's willing to be inconvenienced. He's willing to be stopped. Kusama siya pupunta. Friends, if we profess that we are followers of Jesus Christ, are we compassionate enough to be inconvenienced in order to meet someone else who is in need? Sometimes the busyness of our lives and the personal cries that we bear distracts us from carrying each other's burdens. Who do you need to reach out today?
Sino ang unang tao na pinasok ng Panginoon sa isip mo habang sinasabi ko to?
Who do you need to reach out? Well, any person that you need to be inconvenienced. Pag sinabi you need to be inconvenienced, kailangan mo gumastos, kailangan mo mag-spend ng oras, kailangan mo talaga magsalita, kailangan mo tanggapin kung mare-reject ka o hindi.
Who do you need to reach out today?
Are you willing to be inconvenienced in order to minister to someone who is in pain and in need? And sometimes these are the people na ang hirap i-reach out. Why? Because these are the people are laging galit. These are the people ang laging na nagre-reject because they are in pain.
Ang ginagawa mo ito? Ano na naman yan? Umas ka rito?
Okay, pupunta na. Kamusta na? Okay lang. Ano? Walang problema. Walang problema. Tapos umiiyak na pala. No?
Who do you need to reach out?
Jesus was compassionate. That's why he healed many supernaturally. Now this begs this pressing question. And I know most of you are asking this question. Nung nakita niyo yung passage na to. I'm going to go real fast because of time. Here's the question. Can God supernaturally heal me? Can God supernaturally heal my loved one who is suffering with cancer, who is paralyzed for months in the hospital bed, hindi gumagalaw, who is suffering from chronic pain or disease? Can he heal them?
Or maybe you are here today and you're saying, Pastor, I too am suffering. I too am hurting, but not physically, but emotionally, relationally.
Maybe you're here today, someone who you love betrayed you, and you're hurting. This person abandoned you, cheated on you. Hindi talikuran, harapan pa. Is rebelling against you, not listening to your authority, rejected you, and you are here suffering and praying, Lord, take away the pain. I am tired. I'm done. I am praying. Pastor, I am trusting the Lord. I have faith that He can heal me. He can take away the pain. I know that. I am walking a life dependent on the Lord. I know that. I am constantly asking for Him to heal me. I am going to God's Word for encouragement. I know, but I am hurting. Can God heal me? Can God take away the pain? The answer, yes. Yes. Yes in three different yeses. First yes. Yes, to some He will heal instantly. Instantly. Lord, pagalingan mo ako. Amen. Galing na.
Kinabukasan, wala na yung lagnat, wala na yung pain, wala na yung mga rasyo. Oh, galing. Thank you, Lord.
Second yes. First yes. Thank you, Lord. Nagkaayos na yung relationship. Thank you, Lord, na nagkapatawaran na. Thank you, Lord, nagbalik loob na. No more suffering, yes. Second yes. Yes to some, He will heal eventually. Maybe not now. Maybe hindi pa ngayon. But He will. Could be physical pain, physical, maybe through certain God uses means of grace of medical science through therapies and medication, operation, surgery. Yes, you might go back to your feet. Yes, He heals. Yes, He heals. You are in the process of forgiving this person. And yes, it takes time. Yes, eventually. Third and last. Yes. Yes to all who trusted Christ for salvation. He will ultimately heal them when they reach eternity. Whoa, wait, I don't want that answer. I want healing now. To those who have placed their trust in Christ's finished work on the cross, the promise is there will come a time there will be no more pain, no more sickness, no more heartaches. The imperfection of sin and the consequences of sin, which is death, is no more when we reach His kingdom. But how about now? 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 Yes, there is grace. For those of you who are waiting for this grandiose event, Paul, a man who is familiar with sorrow and pain, encourages us with these words. If this is you, this is Paul's encouragement sa'yo, a man who is also familiar with suffering. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, this is Paul repeating what God told him, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Friends, maybe the suffering will not end in this lifetime. It's nothing to be concerned about, though, because God will provide sufficient grace, sufficient comfort, sufficient people who will care and walk alongside you. It might be people that you don't like. God is doing some things na minsan hindi natin alam. No one can say, you can never say this. Okay, kahit naman, kahit, sige pastor, I believe that. Kahit na hanggang mamatay ako, I will endure the suffering. It's okay because God is providing me. You can never say these things if Jesus has not, if you have not experienced the ultimate healer. You can never say that I can live by God's grace if you have not tasted the grace of God. There was a man who was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows who is familiar with deepest grief and pain and suffering. His loved ones turned their backs on him because they did not care for him. Yes, this man did the ultimate sacrifice for his loved ones, as in the words of Isaiah 53. Let me read it to you. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Friends, this man is Jesus Christ, the one who endured all our pain and suffering on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Lahat ng ginawa natin, ang pinagsisisihan natin ngayon, is on the cross, nailed. Because He is the only one who has the authority to forgive sins. He died on the cross for you because He loves you. Because He wants to honor the Father, He died on the cross for your rebellious attitude. He died for the cross sa inyong mga kapasawayan. Sa kasalanan na patuloy mo ginagawa, He died for that. And even your future sins. He died, was buried, and on the third day has risen from the dead. This Jesus Christ is legit because he did not remain dead. He's alive for your justification. If you're here today and if you're not sure if you have a relationship with this great healer, repent from your sins. Talikuran mo na. At ilagay mo ang iyong pananampalataya kay Kristo at ginawa niya sa krus para sa iyong kaligtasan. As Christians, we can have great hope and peace in the midst of suffering, pain, and affliction and temptation. Bakit po? Because Jesus' authority extends over all demons and diseases. Because He has already demonstrated it in His exhortation, exorcism, and extraordinary healing nung nandito siya. His dying, His resurrection, His ascension, and the exciting part is when everything ends in His return. This is a promise that we can embrace as believers.